Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm your host, Ellen Tang, and I'm joined by Glenn Schultz, who is the head of our agency mortgage prepayment modeling and strategy for MUFG. Today is Tuesday, September 13th. And Glenn, thanks for joining us again this month.
Oh, hi, Ellen. Pleasure. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
So as we always like to kick off these monthly calls, the August REMIT data came out on the 7th, and the aggregate prepayment rate as measured by the Fannie Mae 30-year mortgage MBS was basically flat on a month-over-month basis, around 7.8 CPR. So as we like to do, we like to put our discussion in context. So let's go over kind of where we are in the macro market really quickly. If we're looking at the 30-year mortgage rate, it's around 5.89%, which is really the highest level that we've seen since 2009, following the March 08 collapse of Bear Stearns and the onset of the financial crisis. We also have the FHFA home price index at 618, which is 162% higher than its peak value prior to the financial crisis. And then we also have the Federal Reserve, which has signaled it will continue to raise short-term interest rates, and our macro strategist, George Goncalves, who is calling for another 75 basis point increase in Fed funds rate following the September meeting. So with this macro backdrop, what are your thoughts with respect to this month's prepayment report, the agency MBS market, and also what are your near-term views on prepayments going into the winter months?
Wow, good. The 30-year mortgage rate is at a 13-year high. So let's put this this month's driving mortgage rate in context against that. So when we look at the 30-year mortgage rate as measured by Freddie Mac in August, it actually went up another 25 basis points to the 589 that you were talking about. And it closed up 25 basis points relative to July. So we're still moving mortgage rates up. The driving mortgage rate, which blends the past 3 months as viewed through our prepayment model, went up 15 basis points. Okay, so that's because we look at the past three months and blend them together. But a 15 basis point increase in the driving mortgage rate at the refinance elbow is worth plus or minus 3 CPR, depending on, you know, where the rate goes up, whether the rate goes down, the rate goes up in with respect to TBAs. So let's look at the day count for prepayments last month. So August day count added 3 business days over July. So that would imply like a 15% month over month increase just on the day count alone. And that would bring us, based on the previous months with rates unchanged, to about 8.7 CPR, futures following day count. So with hindsight, we can add in the rate effect with the day count. And the rate effect is probably minus 2-ish CPR. And the day count effect is 1.1. So that's a net, you know, kind of down 0.9 that you would have seen. We were very, very modestly positive. I call it flat because the most significant decimal place is unchanged. So people have said, well, you know, an underperformed day count. The answer is sort of yes and no, but we'll get to that in a second. The moderately seasoned S curve flattened again this month. But it really didn't take out turnover in a meaningful way that I had expected it. So turnout still remains high. It's near 20 CPR in the moderately seasoned cohort. So now, as we move forward, to your point on the outlook, as we move forward into the winter months, we're definitely going to see the winter seasonals begin to take hold. I don't think that that's going to have much of an impact on the moderately seasoned cohorts, because, again, I think the moderately seasoned cohorts are being driven by cash out refinancing, and we'll talk about that. But we are going to see the seasonals take effect. We'll also see the higher rates take effect, but we're down into the 7.8, you know, 7, 8, 9 numbers in terms of absolutes. So the seasonals, I think, will be driving a little bit more than the rates.
Thanks, Glenn. And, you know, we've talked quite a bit in the past about the turnover rate, and we've discussed all the reasons. But I have to ask, at this point, does the turnover rate in the moderately seasoned cohorts, especially given where we are in the rate cycle and the end of the refinance wave, surprise you at all?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'll admit it. I've been looking for this cohort to respond in slow for the last couple of months. And it just, you know, it really It really hasn't done it. It's like the party guest that refuses to leave at 2 a.m. long after the party has ended. It's just a frustrating situation, right? So for example, if you look at the moderately seasoned cohort, so you're going to 2019 and back, a little bit of the early 2020s. But if you look at that cohort, it's really about 94% is out of the money. So the entire cohort is for the most part really out of the money. 20 CPR is very inconsistent with that that's been observed in either the new or the seasoned cohort. So to me, this suggests that we are witnessing equity extraction on the part of these borrowers. Makes sense. They had enjoyed a huge amount of home price appreciation. And as a result of that, that's what I think is holding up the turnover rate. So I think it's really cash out refinancing manifesting its turnover that's doing this. And so the timing of the slowdown, I've basically pushed it out pretty far. I don't think that we're going to see a meaningful slowdown in this cohort for probably at least something between 6 to 12, possibly 18 months.
Got it.
Go ahead. Yes.
No, please go ahead, Glenn.
Oh yeah. So, you know, with that, I just basically threw up my hands and said, there's nothing I can do with it. It's going to be fast for a while, but eventually it will slow down.
Understood. So like you said, you know, you've been looking for the seasoned cohort to slow down, but to the degree that the borrowers are looking to extract equity via a cash out refinance, does that change your view or timing of a slowdown of the moderately seasoned cohort? You sort of touched on this just a little bit, but maybe if you could expand on that, that'd be helpful.
Right. Yeah. So this has been the question that I have been thinking about, you know, in trying to get this reconciled against what I was considering earlier. But, you know, if borrowers in the moderately seasoned cohort are extracting equity, it becomes a question really of the borrower rate, their gross WAC, right? And more importantly, their monthly payment sensitivity. So we do know that people are more payment sensitive than they are rate sensitive. But if you're doing a cash out refinance, you're also going to be rate sensitive in the sense that you say, well, you know, I had a five, let's say, and now we're looking at a six, and is 100 basis points higher, you know, mortgage rate worth it for whatever equity I'm extracting? So that, I think that's kind of the calculus, right? So with that in mind, you know, I estimate that the 30-year mortgage rate probably needs to exceed six and possibly reach as high as 6.5 to slow the rate of equity extraction within the moderately seasoned cohorts. But what's really not known is kind of that above rate versus payment sensitivity. So it's really just really anybody's guess. Like I said, I just feel like throwing up a white flag and, you know, ignoring that cohort altogether, but, you know, that's not a realistic response. So, you know, we looked at the factor in the moderately seasoned cohort factor in all is about 0.33. So with a factor north of 0.3 in a stable rate environment, I think we could potentially see a 20 CPR turnover for 12 to 18 months. I think it's probably more 6 to 12 months, but it just really depends on how aggressive the originators are and you know, the workforce they have that's soliciting it. But the 12 to 18 is kind of a worst case scenario. That would bring us down to something like a 0.25 factor, at which point I would think, you know, you got to have some burnout. So what does it really mean? It means this cohort is really a rate call more than it is anything else now. So if you're looking at the new production, the moderate and the seasoned production cohorts, then the moderately seasoned production cohort, in my mind, you are now making kind of a rate call very directly in terms of what that means for cash out refinancing, which is a little bit different. I mean, mortgages are rate calls at the heart of it, but this is a little bit different.
Got it. So Glenn, in your view, both the new prod and seasoned cohorts are carry investments. In new production sector, the investor is really playing the carry of the seasoning ramp, and in the seasoned cohorts, the investor is playing burnout. So what do investors do in the moderately seasoned cohort? There must be something of interest there within this subset.
Right. Yeah. I mean, well, it has to be a truism, right, of the markets, that there's got to be something interesting everywhere is what I think. But I think in this particular case, what investors should look to exploit are CMOs, not the collateral in particular, right? So I like the inverse floaters, the inverse IOs. They're lined up with the trend in rates right off the gate because they're inverses. And then inverse IOs would be playing, on the coming slowdown as well. Floaters to kind of a lesser degree. But, as prepays slow with the borrow equity extraction, then I believe these structures are really the bell of the ball within the moderately seasoned cohorts. This is where you're going to kind of get the most bang for the buck. And so if you're going to do something in the moderately seasoned cohorts, I think you really have to kind of look at where you're going to get the most bang for the buck, because it's really very much a call. It's a refinancing, cash out call, home price call, rate call, all that kind of stuff. So you should get a lot for that. And those, I think those sectors are what kind of gives you that pop that you really need to take those risks.
Understood. Thanks for that, Glenn. And, kind of shifting over to mortgage spreads, they really have been quite volatile, and you've had a really good run so far this year on basis calls. The basis has gapped out again to 145 bips. Do you see value at these levels now?
Yeah, I do. But let me put this in context really quick, because I'm actually getting a little gun shy. I have done pretty well on the basis calls. And so, you get afraid that you're going to mess it up at the very end as you come into the end of the year. But, we're at the current coupon now is closed in July at about 114 basis points, just to give us sort of a fixing point. It gapped out in August to close about 136 basis points. And then the spread widened out, this month, and we're at 140 basis points today. So we're kind of back to where we started. And I think we were around 140 early in July. And I had sent out a client note. They said, we like mortgages at 140. And we did see some action there. But then spreads widened out again. So I still like mortgages at 140. We're back to those early July levels. So I have the same opinion. I think they offer good value at these levels, but there's some qualifiers, right? So the last Federal Reserve operation is going to occur tomorrow. The question of asset sales, still looms against the MBS market. It's not really resolved, particularly with respect to the floor on the asset runoff. So in our view, the upper end of the normal trading range is 140 to 150. So we're there. That's the new normal. We've talked about that in the past. In the stress scenario, I think the upper range is 200, and it can go as high as 240, which it did, on the onset of the financial crisis. So if the market gets spooked about runoff and those types of things or asset sales, I guess you can argue 2 to 240, depending on, how stressed the market believes that this is achievable. But I still think like 140, 150 is where we hold. And mortgage spreads are really anchored to corporate spreads right now, very much so. And corporate spreads are the anchor on mortgage spreads, is what I mean by that. So I think if the Federal Reserve ignores guidance on both the runoff cap and the runoff floor. So I really believe on a go-forward basis, they need to give a lot of guidance on cap and floor, particularly if anything changes, but more importantly on the floor, so people know what's going on as far as potential sales. I think that you would have a better behaved market if you don't talk about the floor. Then you face the risk, I think, that MBS spreads could hit the extreme on fear of asset sales or things like that. So with that in mind, where I like to be in the space right now, or the sectors that I prefer, is the specified pool sector. So I like the new production loan balance 3.5s and 4s, and then in the geo sector, I like the same coupons 3.5s and 4s. I like Texas and Florida pools, but I do have a bias to Florida pools. They have more two-way protection than Texas, so I always prefer Florida over Texas unless the economics just don't make any sense. And then the relative value of corporates versus forces, which I've already talked about, so I believe that's going to be an anchor on the current coupon spread. So that's kind of where I'm at with respect to the market.
Thanks so much, Glenn. So we really went through a lot of content over the past 10 or 12 minutes. So to kind of wrap up everything that we discussed, one, you think mortgage offers good value here. Relative value versus corporates has improved, but corporate spread differentials still do pose a headwind in the current coupon basis. Mm-hmm. Without more detailed guidance from the Fed on mortgage sales, particularly about the runoff floor, mortgage spreads may gap out. Mm-hmm. And then finally, you do favor 3.5 and 4 coupon, low loan balance, as well as Texas and Florida geo sectors with a strong emphasis on Florida for given its two-way protection. Is that a fair synopsis of everything that we've covered?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's pretty fair synopsis.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Glenn, thank you very much for joining us again today. And thank you to our listeners for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. You could go ahead and rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And please reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Please check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.